You, he's mad at us, and he certainly doesn't like the stickers that are popping up on gas pumps all over America.
Come on, man.
You know, the I did that stickers that people are putting on gas pumps all over the country. Don't think he's a big fan of that. So yesterday, the president, and happy Wednesday morning. It's a hump day. It's good to be with you on KCMO Talk Radio. He's given this speech to a bunch of union guys in Philadelphia. And I don't know if he was going off script as he was doing this, but he went from, remember when Joe Biden used to be like the empathetic old guy? So he's gone from the empathetic old guy to just the angry old guy. You know, at least the empathetic old guy routine was kind of one that had a little bit of a shticky charisma to it. This one's just like, you know, your angry grandpa, John. That's kind of what it comes across as.
He's not whispering at us.
No, no.
He's not empathizing.
Yeah.
Right.
But then he'll still try to throw it in, I guess, once in a while.
Come on, man. You know, the thing.
The thing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, you know.
Yesterday, he's given this speech. And, I mean, he was visibly furious. Now, I mean, he should be. His presidency is in the toilet. Gas is costing $5 a gallon. But the problem is he should be yelling at the guy in the mirror instead of you. All right? That's what he should be and who he should be yelling at. Not those of us who are complaining about the fact that inflation has skyrocketed to 40-year highs, at least largely in part because of decisions and policies pushed by his administration.
I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives.
He's the voice of that blow-up figure you see at the tire store where it does all the, you know, the wiggle thing. He's the voice for that.
I'll play it again just in case you had a tough time translating the first time around.
I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives.
He doesn't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives. Well, that is true, Joe. You are changing people's lives to the tune of an extra $450 more per month for the same goods as last year, thanks to 40-year high inflation. Yeah, you're certainly changing Americans' lives. I mean, that's the data. It's costing Americans, on average right now, between $450 and $500 per month more to consume the same goods and services as 1 year ago. So you have certainly changed our lives, and we are very, very grateful for that, Joe. I mean, come on. So he says he doesn't want to hear any more lies about reckless spending as well, in case you need the interpreter, which we're happy to be. No, we're going to continue to talk about reckless spending, because reckless spending is a large part of how we got here. I know he wants to make it all about Putin's price hike. Putin, 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 Putin. But inflation was happening before Putin. Did Putin make it worse? Yeah, sure, absolutely. What happened and what has happened between Russia and Ukraine has definitely made inflation worse. Was it already happening, and was it likely already and definitely going to be a problem today, no matter what happened in Ukraine involving Vladimir Putin? Absolutely. Might it not be as high as it was or is today without Putin doing what he did? Sure, yeah, I'm happy to admit that. But are there obvious steps that can be taken today by this administration to try to alleviate this inflation? There is, and they're not doing it. Instead, what are they doing? So yesterday, it was announced that the administration is going to release 45 million barrels of crude oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. What are they doing? They're trying to increase supply of oil to then lower cost, decrease demand, right? Supply goes up, theoretically, demand goes down. But, you know, 45 million barrels of crude oil, guess how much that gets us? In this country, that gets us about 2 days worth of oil. That's it. 2 days. You think that's going to make any kind of a serious dent in gas prices around the country? We consume as a nation about 19 to 20 million barrels of crude oil every single day. Joe Biden is releasing 45 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which really is meant to be there for like a crisis. You know, like some type of global national crisis that no one can predict, where God forbid we need oil immediately right away. That's what it's there for. Not for a White House that is so afraid of the far left that they don't want to encourage more drilling for oil and gas right here in the United States. That's not what it's meant to be there for. That's not what it's meant to be used for. But that's what they're using it for. And that announcement came down yesterday, and it's not going to make any kind of a difference. You are not going to see gas prices come down. I mean, my Phillips 66 at $4.69, you're not going to see that price come down because of this move. What it is going to do, what is going to potentially happen as a result of this, or what we know is going to happen, is that that strategic reserve is continuing to dwindle. In this global environment, do you want to dwindle your strategic petroleum reserves right now? I don't know, especially when there's an obvious alternative answer to all this. So what's happening now as a result? What is the president planning on doing here outside of yelling at people? What he's planning on doing is going to Saudi Arabia, and he is going to beg the Saudis for oil. That's what he's going to do. Yes, he's going to ask for more of that blood money. He's going to ask for them to do more drilling and to produce more oil so that we can consume Saudi oil instead of oil from, say, West Texas and the Permian Basin. Drill, baby, drill. Just over in Saudi Arabia. Just not here, please. Over, you know, and the Saudis can bring over another few golfers to their live tour while they're at it as well, thanks to Joe Biden. I mean, that's,
come on, man.
Maybe that's it. Maybe Joe's trying to get the live tour a leg up on the PGA tour. I don't know. But regardless of that, this is as bad of a strategic move as this guy could make. But it's sadly predictable as well. It's sadly expected as well. That we sit here yesterday, we watch a press conference, and if you didn't watch it, I know Chris DeGaulle was carrying it live for the first part of his show, and it was very funny. But you sit here and you watch Joe Biden yell at you as, you know, you start your day yesterday.
I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives.
Yeah, yeah. Angry man. Yeah, old man yells at cloud. I keep thinking of the Simpsons meme. Old man yells at cloud as I'm watching and listening to that yesterday, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'm saying to myself, okay, we're looking at this guy. He's yelling at us for a lot of what he's caused. He's reprimanding you and I and millions of other Americans for being upset with what he at least largely in part created, and that's giving him the benefit of the doubt. That's not how this works, all right? And it certainly is a massive turnoff. You know, I didn't live through Jimmy Carter, but enough people who have tell me that, gosh, Jimmy, you know, Jimmy was a terrible president, but he was a real nice man. And people still say that about Jimmy Carter. Is anyone going to look back on this presidency of Joe Biden and say he's anything but incompetent, but also not the friendly old man, as we whisper into the microphone, the friendly old man that he built himself to be for 40 years in politics? Because there's nothing friendly about yelling at the American people who are ticked off that they can't afford gas and groceries. There's nothing, nothing appealing about that. Good to be here kicking off a Wednesday morning on KCMO. Roy Blunt will join me at 7:05 this morning. You don't want to miss that. He is obviously one of the senators who has agreed to the framework of this bill in Congress, or this bill in the Senate, which is not technically written yet, but he has agreed to a framework for legislation on guns. So Roy Blunt will be here just after 7. Do not miss that conversation coming up here on KCMO. Next, I do want to share this with you, as we got some breaking news overnight. bunch of local school districts have canceled classes and summer activities because of a mass shooting threat. Yeah. We'll get you the latest on that coming up next on KCMO. Just shared this on Twitter. Elon Musk, I told you the story before the break about Myra Flores winning this special election in South Texas. First Mexican-American ever elected to Congress. But since she's a Republican, no one's going to talk about it, right? And she won in a deep blue district, districts that's been double digits towards Democrats for the last several election cycles. Elon Musk putting on Twitter at 2:28 this morning, "I voted for Myra Flores. First time I ever voted Republican. Massive red wave in 2022. That is from Elon Musk, 2:30 this morning. How about that? And then someone responded to him and said, "I assume Republican for president too?" And he said, "TBD." Someone writes back, "What are you leaning towards?" And Elon Musk responds, "DeSantis." Wow. Elon Musk, baby. Elon Musk. How about that? Happy Wednesday. Hey, Roy Blunt's coming up at 7 o'clock. Don't miss that conversation here on KCMO Talk Radio. And if you haven't RSVP'd for our politics and a pint with Vicky Hartzler, do that now. Space is limited. Lee's Summit, Tiff and Jay's, Monday, June 27th. And RSVP at kcmotalkradio.com. Plus, we've got Chicago tickets coming up at 7:10 this morning. All right. What is the worst thing you have been fired for? We'll get to you on that at 5767710. But I don't know if you can top this story I'm about to play. All right. So this gas station manager outside of Sacramento has been fired. Why? Because he accidentally punched in 69 cents instead of $6.99 for the price of regular gasoline at the gas station that he manages in California. Here's the report, the full report from Fox News.
1978 was the last time gas was 69 cents a gallon in California. Grease was the number one movie in the country, but now at a Shell station in Rancho Cordova near Sacramento, where gas was supposed to be $6.99, the station manager misplaced a decimal, and suddenly you could almost hear the Bee Gees singing Staying Alive, because gas was 69 cents. And the guy you're about to hear from filled up for 14 bucks. Watch.
Yeah, I looked at the numbers and I seen it was 69 cents a gallon. So, you know what I did? I hit that button and it started pumping and the dollar sign just stayed low. I started looking around and everybody had a smile. Like, everybody had a big smile and they kind of were like not looking at you in your eyes.
Yeah, so that man, like a lot of others, started calling his friends and family, even posted on Instagram, and soon the Shell station was a mob scene. The odd thing is it took the manager 3 hours to catch the mistake, and by then the station had lost $16,000. The manager had lost his job. But instead of blaming Putin, the manager admitted the mistake, and he and his family even started a GoFundMe page to help pay back the $16,000.
How about that story out of California? Now, I feel bad for the manager. It seems like, and obviously it was a mistake, he screwed up the decimal place, so he's charging 69 cents for a gallon of gas instead of $6.99. But here's where I got a rag on this guy. All right. You know, you're managing a gas station, and all of a sudden, your gas station just has regular flow of traffic. When suddenly your gas station has several lines at every pump, does that not, like, send up your spidey senses for a second and make you wonder, geez, I mean, you know, we get a decent flow here. But what the heck's going on, John? All of a sudden, every one of my pumps are, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 deep here.
Perhaps what's more impressive is the poker face and the honor among thieves for 3 hours as people all pumped and didn't say anything to the guy. Like, you figured grandma would have rolled in there and go, "Hey, young man, did you know that I remember when gas was..."
Yes, you're right. That's a great point.
The guy that goes in to pay with cash, he's like, "I'll take 20 on pump two." 20? That'll get you like a gallon or two.
Yeah, two and a half gallons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just got to get down the road, you know. That's a great point. Now, had this been, and had we still lived in a world where people actually paid cash for gasoline, this would have been blown up way before the 3-hour mark. But I bet you because probably 99% of people are using their cards at the gas station anyway, they're filling up and they're just kind of looking at each other, as John said. Don't smile too big. Yeah. Keep it between us. Don't say too much.
Did you say that they're doing a GoFundMe to pay back
the store? Yes.
Here's the thing. I think Shell should pay back, right?
Oh.
Shell's got plenty of billions coming in, right?
Oh, Mark's going anti-corporation on us here.
I'm just saying. I mean, this guy's a manager at their local store. I mean, they could help him out.
Well,
it was a mistake.
That is an interesting angle here to this, right?
Like, it's okay. They're releasing oil from the reserves, boss.
Yeah.
Right? We can make it up, right?
Joe's got 45 million barrels coming out of the reserves. Good point. So people think that the gas station owner is getting rich off of this stuff. That's not the case. So I do feel bad for the owner who lost 16 grand. And it's not 16 grand in profits. That's 16 grand in revenues that he is now eating on his own, likely. So I feel bad for the manager who royally screwed up. I feel bad for the owner who's now at 16 grand and is going to have to eat that. Does he have insurance? I don't know enough about the business to know how that works. Mark says that Shell should kick in 16 grand. Okay. I mean, that'd be nice. But from what I understand, you know, these contracts at these gas stations, they are ruthless. They're absolutely ruthless, no matter who you're dealing with. But that would be a nice gesture. All right. If Shell came out and said, hey, we got you 16 grand, we got you covered. That'd be a nice gesture, and I actually think Shell would get some goodwill out of that. Like, I'd look for a Shell station for a couple of weeks just to try to help out after, you know, they pump in 16 grand to this poor company in California. I'd get on board with that, so I don't hate it as much as I thought. But then I'm seeing this story last night, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, what is the worst thing that you've either been fired for or nearly fired for? And maybe this is something you're not going to want to call in and share, but I'm hoping that you will at 5767710, because this can get off the rails quickly. I can tell you the worst thing I did that did not get me fired, because for whatever reason, the radio station manager had sympathy on me, but it was fall of 2011 it would have been. I was on the weekends, I was in the Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania doing running the board for Lehigh football on Saturdays. And at halftime, I would do a score report from around college football. So I'd say, hey, here's what's happening between, you know, KU and Texas and K-State and Iowa State. And here's what's happening between Oklahoma and Texas Tech and, you know, whatever. I just kind of take you around. And I'm doing the halftime report. And, you know, this is one of my first, probably, I guess it was my second job, but it was really a part-time job. I was just going out there on the weekends. And I got all my papers. You guys know how this works. I got all my papers, all the scores from all over college football that I'm reading. And I lost track of which page I was on. Now, it wasn't a big deal. I could have just kept moving, and if I missed a couple of games, so be it. But, you know, you're a young broadcaster, and you're doing these, you know, halftime reports, and you want them to go perfectly, and you're like, oh no, I'm gonna screw up on air. Now it's like, oops. But anyway, you're all nervous, you're young, you know, people are listening. So I'm going through these scores during my halftime report for Lehigh football, and I lost where I was. And I did something I should have never done. I dropped an F-bomb. Yes, I did. And I do not believe, I had a guy over my shoulder who was training me. I don't believe we got the dump button in time. We certainly didn't get it over the stream. Now, if you listen to the show on the stream at kcmotalkradio.com or on the app, you know that the dump button does not work on the stream. All right? So I'll never know if we got the dump button in time to make sure that the F word did not go over the air. It was close. I like to believe that we did, but it was close. I do know this much. The F-bomb went over the stream, and immediately after the game, my program director called me, chewed me out, amazingly did not fire me because I think he was having so much trouble hiring somebody for his weekend shift. So here we are, well over 10 years later, John.
Someone of my approximate height and complexion may have let an F-bomb go on the air live, but fortunately that person of my approximate height and complexion was working overnight. Didn't really generate much controversy.
That's a good time to drop an F-bomb overnight. Yeah, if it's going to happen.
Any, I guess, right?
That's right. Oh, gosh. So that's the closest I've ever been to getting fired for royally screwing something up on the job. That's the closest I've been. But if you've got a story that may be in line with this guy at the gas station who just put 69 cents per gallon into the system instead of $6.99, 5767710, it's 816 or 913-576-7710 to join us here on a Wednesday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. Pete Mundo with you as we approach 7 o'clock. Roy Blunt will join us then. Chicago tickets at 710 as well. All part of a busy Wednesday morning. Pete Mundo on KCMO Talk Radio. So we just gave away another pair of Chicago Brian Wilson tickets. Who's our winner, John?
Jason in Olathe, number 7 this time around.
All right. Jason in Olathe, congrats, as he has been entered to win as well the grand prize, which is a bay at Tee Shots up in the Northland. How about that? That's going to be, well, he's not necessarily going, but it's going to be a good time.
He's registered for the grand prize to tee off at Tee Shots.
Yes, I like that, John. That sounds good. Should have put that in the promo. Tee off at Tee Shots. There you go. There you go. All righty. So at 7:22, we have an update for you as well. We have 10, when you combine school districts and schools, 10 that have been closed for summer classes and cancel activities today due to a mass shooting threat targeting Blue Springs specifically. So Blue Springs was targeted. FBI has been alerted. They have not arrested anybody, although they know who the individual is. But it's closed 8 school districts, most out of precaution. But the 8 that are closed, Blue Springs, Lee Summit, Independence, Fort Osage, Grain Valley, Oak Grove, Odessa, and Lone Jack. And then also a couple of private schools, Timothy Lutheran in Blue Springs and St. Michael the Archangel in Lee Summit, also shut down. So there you go. That's just the latest update here this morning as we take you through it on KCMO Talk Radio. You just heard from Senator Roy Blunt on the framework for legislation on guns that he is supporting, and he explains some of that here on KCMO Talk Radio. Wes and Gladstone's on that. Go ahead, Wes. You're on KCMO.
Yeah, Pete. What his plan boils down to is we're going to bribe states to take away due process, but they don't. They never look at the facts, Pete. Sandy Hook, the mother, kept loaded guns in a house with a kid who was psychotic. Marjorie Stoneman, that shooter, had not been arrested, but he should have been arrested on multiple times.
Yeah.
But the DOJ and the Department of Education had a policy that they were going to limit the people of color who were going to be arrested. Look at Buffalo and Uvalde. Where were those? And I think both of them live with their grandparents. What the hell were the grandparents doing? There had to be signs.
Wes, you bring up very, very reasonable points about how all of this does start at home, right? But I'm not worried. I'm not worried until we get the details, which we don't have yet. I'm not worried about this impacting anything in Missouri. I'm really not. I can't imagine Missouri's ever passing anything like red flag laws. So it's a moot point, which is good for Missouri at this point in time.
Right, Pete. But everything the Constitution stands for is not worth anything without personal responsibility.
Yeah. Well, we've lost a lot of that, Wes. We can agree there. We have lost a lot of that, my friend. Good points. Now, once again, I think there are some fine things in this framework. You heard Roy Blunt talk about the mental health side. You talk about funding for school safety, hardening schools. And, you know, I have no issue. If you're 18 and you want to buy a firearm, we can now look at your juvenile record. I think that's A-OK. The big question mark is the details behind these red flag laws. and what it would mean for states who have them, and more importantly, states that don't. We know Kansas and Missouri do not. But how does the federal government then potentially incentivize them to implement them? That's the question that I have. But, I mean, you know, as we've talked about many times, you cannot legislate evil, unfortunately, in too many cases. But if something like an 18-year-old kid on his birthday, you know, wants to go, God forbid, purchase a firearm to do God knows what, and he's got a juvie record that now we can look at, I mean, I have zero issue with that. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, ironically enough, is on the record as saying that's the biggest concern to her in this framework. So what's that tell you? What's that? AOC's the one who's suddenly like, oh, I don't know about this checking into juvie records. All right. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. What is a woman? I know you're wondering why I'm asking the question. Well, I bring this up because NPR, National Panhandler Radio, they had a post up on Twitter yesterday. And in that post on Twitter, they were writing about the fact that tampons are now the latest supply chain casualty. We talked about baby formula and all these other different things, but now it's hard to find tampons all over the country. And it's been going on for quite some time. Apparently, some of the biggest sellers, CVS, Target, Walgreens, they're down 50 to 60% in terms of how many they've received this year compared to the same time last year. So here's how NPR writes this story. NPR writes on Twitter, quote, tampons, a necessity for many, are becoming harder to find. They add, people who menstruate are saying it's harder to find tampons on store shelves across the U.S. right now. What would you call people who menstruate? Is there another word for that? Jeez, what? What I'm racking my brain here. What would that word be that we could use, a synonym for people who menstruate? Dare I say women?
Talk about a bombshell.
Is that an okay word to use? Can I use that word instead of NPR doing its woke terminology, using the word or the phrase people who menstruate? Don't forget, your tax dollars hard at work. And we got our own NPR affiliate right here in town with KCUR. So just know that, you know, that's how they now refer to, it's not women, all right? They're not women. It's people who menstruate. What a time to be alive. Coming up, I've got the top five fetishes of the Kansas City Star. I'll explain why we're doing this next. Pete Mundo on KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM and 103.7 FM. Now, why do I want to talk about fetishes of the Kansas City Star? Well, because they brought it up. All right, they went there. Great to be with you on a Wednesday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. They're the ones who want to talk about fetishes, John, not me. I'm just following the news cycle here. That's all I got.
I'm rubber, your glue bounces off of me and sticks to you. How's that?
I like that. I like that.
This isn't like Rex Ryan and like feet, right?
No. Well, I mean, their fetishes may be weirder than former NFL coach Rex Ryan, who loves feet. I mean, theirs are just more political in nature, I guess I would say. All right. Hey, our politics in the pint, if you haven't RSVP'd, do that now at kcmotalkradio.com. Be sure to get on that list. We'll be in Lee's Summit Monday, June 27th with Vicki Hartzler at Tiff and Jay's. So get on the RSVP list now at kcmotalkradio.com. So I bring this up because the Star wants to write about gun fetishes. You know, they wrote a piece about this a framework for legislation that we've been talking a lot about this week, where a bipartisan group of senators came together and put together framework for legislation. The bill is not written yet, but the framework, which they say will address gun violence. Now, you know, we've gone through it all week long, but some of the big things that it does that we've told you about, some of them are just fine. Like, you know, if you're under 21, want to buy a gun, we can look at your juvie record. Okay. More money for mental health services. Okay. Give funding to schools to improve safety, hardening schools. Okay. I like Roger Marshall's plan a little bit better, which uses leftover COVID money for that. I mean, instead of spending more money we don't have, maybe let's spend the money that's already been earmarked and spent that also we did not have when we spent it, but at least the money's already out there somewhere in the world. So, but either way, want to harden schools, do some of those things? Okay, that's great. The red flag laws is a bit of a concern depending on the details of it, but we'll wait to see what that looks like. Anyway, they wrote a piece, and the Kansas City Star wrote in part, gun fetishes in our region have denounced the agreement. Republican candidates seeking to replace Roy Blunt in the Senate have denounced the deal, insisting their GOP colleagues back away from talks. Those candidates have offered no reasonable proposal that would stem the nation's horrific gun-created bloodshed. Gun-created bloodshed. It's amazing how these guns only do really bad things when they're in the hands of the wrong people. Isn't it kind of amazing how that works?
Talk about a bombshell.
They go on to write here, the Kansas City Star. They are not moved when kids are killed. Dead fourth graders, it seems, are the price of freedom. You know, reasonable people can disagree on things, right? But when you believe that those who disagree with you want dead kids and just believe that dead kids are the price of freedom, you're a horrible person. Like, you're really a disgraceful person. And I wish I could say who that person is for the Kansas City Star, because I would just say that, but they don't share their name. It just writes, by the editorial board. So I don't know who wrote it. I don't know. Maybe they all wrote it. Maybe they all agreed on that. But when you basically write, and this is what they're writing here, that those who have concerns about the framework of this legislation are somehow just accepting of dead fourth graders, as if amazingly you pass a bill and this will never happen again, is really one of the grossest things that they've ever written, which is saying something, considering what absolute trash they are. And if I wanted to say more, I would have Mark start slamming the dump button. And I could probably have Mark, you know, the dump button, to take you behind the scenes, the dump button works on about a 7-second cycle. So I could go off on a 28-second rant. Mark hits the dump button 4 times and, you know, you won't hear all of what I really want to say. But I don't want to do that to Mark, not this early in the morning. So instead of just, you know, going through this and doing the usual thing where I could knock them for the next 10 minutes, instead I said, you know what, if they want to talk about fetishes, all right, since they say there is a gun fetish in the region, let's go through the top 5 fetishes of the Kansas City Star, shall we? Let's do that for a minute, if you can indulge me on that. All right, the top 5 fetishes of the Kansas City Star. We'll count it down from we'll go 5 to 1. All right, we'll go in reverse order here. The top 5 fetishes of the Kansas City Star, coming in at number 5, Black Lives Matter. All right, that's
show some respect.
I mean, they have been banging that drum. It doesn't matter how many houses, how many multi-million dollar houses the founders of Black Lives Matter buy in Southern California, and how much money they pay their friends and family to do absolutely nothing for the cause. They will bang that drum and support that movement no matter how big of a sham it is. They will support it till the end of time. All right, number 4 on the top 5 fetishes of the Kansas City Star is Jackson County Prosecutor Jean Peters Baker.
She's a real beauty.
Yep, she is number 4 on this list. It doesn't matter how many criminals she lets walk back onto the streets of Kansas City, all right, in the name of equity and justice. And, oh, well, they're kind of a victim because, oh, they didn't have a great upbringing. So, well, that's not, oh, what are we going to do? We got to give them a second chance. It doesn't matter how many felons she lets back out on the streets. The Kansas City Star will continue to give the Jackson County prosecutor a pass. And never forget the incestual nature between the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office and the Kansas City Star. Mike Manser is the communications guy at the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office. He is a former employee of the Kansas City Star. Just remember that, all right? When you talk about the relationship between those two partners and between those two bodies, it is incest in many ways. Number three on the list of Kansas City Star top five fetishes, Sharice David's desk. Yep. And I looked it up last night to confirm this article from now almost 3 years ago, July of 2019. Kansas City Star did a huge feature on what is on Sharice David's desk. Remember that?
Apple.
Yeah, an apple. That was the big
one.
It was an apple that was like somehow given to her by, I don't know, her grandmother, and she's been carrying around the apple for some odd, you know, 20 some odd years. I don't know. There was something weird like that. But I'm wondering why Kevin Yoder never got a featured piece in the Kansas City Star. And what's on his desk? What's on Kevin Yoder's desk? So Sharice David's desk has been a joke on this show for 3 years. Next month, that piece was written. I can't believe it's been that long. Number two on the top five fetishes of the Kansas City Star. Pronouns.
Such a nice man.
All right. Pronouns. They love the pronoun crowd. They are all about, make sure you identify yourself. She, her, he, him, they, them. Make sure you do that. All right. So that's number two on the top five fetishes of the Kansas City Star. And I'm bringing this up because they wrote a piece talking about fetishes and gun fetishes of the region. So I figured I'd go through the list of the top five Kansas City Star fetishes while I'm at it here on a Wednesday morning. And the number one fetish of the Kansas City Star, at least over the past 18 months, January 6th. All right, that is...
How dare you!
Number one fetish of the Kansas City Star over the past 18 months. They have spent so much time with headline pieces on some guy in Olathe or some guy in Blue Springs who was stupid enough to break the law on January 6th. And yes, if you did that, you're a buffoon. And you should be held to the fullest extent of the law if you did break the law on January 6th. But it's amazing. They have headline pieces on these guys who no one knows, no one cares about, both sides of the state line. Meantime, you know, you had riots that happened right here in Kansas City, Missouri. People also broke the law. And they've never once done a deep dive on any of those folks. In fact, instead what they did is they cheered on the city council in the summer of 2020 when they dropped all the charges for people who, you know, broke the law during those summer of 2020 riots. That's what they did instead. Yeah, you're throwing a brick at a cop. You know, justice. It's absolutely unbelievable. So there you go. The top five fetishes of the Kansas City Star. Had to have some fun with that here on KCMO Talk Radio. Happy hump day. Good to be with you. Coming up, Amy Covey is on the Lansing School Board. Now, you may say, what's up in Lansing? Well, they did something nobody else in the state of Kansas, as far as I know, has done. They passed a Parents' Bill of Rights this week. Remember, this is something that was at the state level. The state legislature passed it in Topeka. Governor Kelly vetoed it. In Lansing, they turned around their school board this past election, and they said, all right, the state won't do it. We'll pass our own Parents' Bill of Rights. This could be a guideline for other school districts, other school boards around the state of Kansas, and it also tells you how important these local elections are. She will join us and give us the details coming up on KCMO Talk Radio. I'm a regular reader of Tony's Kansas City. Very good site here in town, and we appreciate all the journalisming they do that outlets like The Star and TV stations don't do here in town. But I had someone send this to me yesterday, and I had not seen it. And it was an article about yours truly. And I thought, okay, what direction is this going to go? So I'll share it with you on TonysKansasCity.com. The headline here was Kansas City pushes back, or Kansas City pushback against Pete Mundo. And I thought, okay, what is this about? Well, what it was about was the picture I put up from Sunday when I was at Target with the family. So we're at Target Sunday and, you know, just a little family shopping where I'm on one side of the store and Kate's on the other side of the store with Chloe and Claire, and I hear Chloe, our one-year-old, screaming from the freezer aisle from one side of Target to the other because she is the loudest one-year-old baby in the history of humankind. But neither here nor there. You know, I went to the baby formula aisle, and it was 90% empty. And I just shared that on Twitter, at Pete Mundo. I also put it on my Facebook page, Pete Mundo on KCMO. And there was a lefty meltdown over it. People telling me to go bleep myself and, you know, everything and anything under the sun. And it's like, I'm just sharing an empty shelf or empty shelves of baby formula right here in Kansas City. Some people insisted, you know, it wasn't a real photo. I made it up. I ripped it off the internet. You know, the whole thing there, John.
Well, yeah, the Photoshop of your perspiration on your forehead as you moved all the formula off the shelf so you could take the picture.
That's
should
right.
Have given it away.
That's right. I took all the formula off the shelves to create a nice photo for Twitter while I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old at the store. That's definitely a good use of my time.
Probably, yeah, he probably did.
Yeah. and then, of course, I put in the tweet, "Let's go, Brandon." I mean, you know, I just, you got to do it. The point was this overall, that the White House, which runs the federal government, knew that this baby formula shortage was coming after the recall took place late last year. And they did nothing about it. It's not directly their fault. You get a recall, fine, it happens. But you've got to be prepared to make sure as a federal government, as a bureaucracy, that whatever you've done and whatever you've required to be recalled isn't going to result in babies going hungry in the United States of America. You can't have that. So it triggered a lot of people. So anyway, Tony's Kansas City writes, first and foremost, TKC is a fan of Pete Mundo.
Such a nice man.
A lot of commentators and amateur online pundits think they understand conservative arguments, but they're mostly just parroting chatter they heard from smarter people, .. poorly. Agree or disagree, there's no denying Pete Mundo has a better understanding of present-day conservatism than any other local talker. Moreover, his success is that he has been able to balance right-wing ideas with mainstream appeal. As we've proven many times, any dolt can go off on a rant. That's funny. But only a skilled pro can earn an income articulating conservative arguments in a donation-based local media landscape that's incredibly hostile to any right-wing or alternative opinion. Pete's recent posting on the baby formula issue irked some of our smarter readers. The common theme, Republicans haven't helped to solve the crisis. Accordingly, we're sharing some of the better, smarter, and exceptional news links sent our way by savvy readers. And then he shares links from mostly left-wing propaganda outlets like the Washington Post, who have this headline: nearly 200 Republicans vote against bill to ease baby formula shortage. Now, you see that headline from the Washington Post, and you say to yourself, whoa, these Republicans talking a big game. But 200 Republicans in the House voted against providing $28 million in aid to the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, to address the shortage of baby formula, writes the Washington Post. And they're using that as a way to say, Republicans, they don't actually want to solve the problem. They just want to use the issue against Joe Biden. Well, do you know what was actually in that bill that the House passed and sent to the Senate on a largely party line vote, that $28 million bill? Do you know what was in it? It was basically raises for the FDA. That's it. I'm going to read you right now the text of that bill. Just so you know, anyone who tells you that, well, Republicans, they don't want to solve the baby formula crisis. They voted against a bill, a very important bill, to ease the shortage. Here's the text of the bill. For an additional amount for, quote, salaries and expenses, $28 million to remain available until September 30th of 2023 shall be available to address the current shortage of FDA-regulated infant formula and certain medical foods in the United States and to prevent future shortages, including such steps as may be necessary to prevent fraudulent products from entering the United States market. It goes on from there with more legal language. But it's $28 million towards salaries and expenses. It is basically raises for the FDA. The FDA doesn't need more money. This bill basically rewards an agency that is performing its mission incredibly poorly with more money without in any way connecting the funds requested to better achieving that said mission. Right? Like, so the answer from Nancy Pelosi and Democrats in the House was to give raises to the FDA. Tell me how that gets baby formula onto the shelves at a Target in Overland Park, Olathe, Lee, Summit, Liberty, Gladstone, anywhere else. Tell me what giving the FDA head honchos raises will do to alleviate the baby formula crisis today. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And any thinking person knows that. So what the House did is they basically used a crisis to get raises for their friends in the federal government. And then they used their media allies to beat up Republicans over it by saying, oh, these Republicans, they don't know, they won't help solve the baby formula shortage. They're voting against a bill to ease the baby formula crisis. Tell me how giving a raise to anybody at the FDA gets baby formula onto your shelves today. It doesn't. And the text of the bill that is not debatable, that I just read to you verbatim, proves as much. It was a one-page bill for $28 million for salaries and expenses. That's it. Now, if the baby formula shortage was caused by an underfunded FDA, maybe this would help. But it wasn't caused by in any way an underfunded FDA. An incompetent FDA, yeah, in part. But underfunded? Please. Please, find me a federal agency that finds itself underfunded right now. You're going to have a very difficult time finding it. Very difficult time finding it. So that's the easy way for those readers of Tony's Kansas City who were triggered by me noting empty shelves at Target of baby formula that somehow think the Republicans are the ones who want this as an issue and don't want to solve the crisis because they voted against your bill to give raises to the FDA. You got to come with better than that, all right? You're going to come with a pea shooter, or you want to come with something a little more substantial, a little more facts behind you, instead of just editorials from the Washington Post that are easily debunked. And we could debunk all day here on KCMO Talk Radio, all day, every day. 5767710 is how you join us. Our text line is 816-576-7710. As we roll through a busy Wednesday morning, What If Wednesday's coming up at the end of the hour. Our buddy David Stokes of the Show Me Institute will be here at 8:30. The president just gave this weird, it wasn't even a speech yesterday. It was more of like a rant. I don't know what it was. It was just this kind of bizarre rant. And he goes on this rant, and somehow he is convinced that if we just raise the taxes on corporations, inflation would go down. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Maybe you can explain it to me. Maybe you can help me with this coming up on KCMO Talk Radio.
I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives. I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives.
Woo! All right. Big time stuff.
Stegall said that he's mad that they had a pudding shortage.
I mean, what? Why was he yelling yesterday? That was the president of the United States at a press conference in Philadelphia talking to a bunch of union folks. And he said, I don't want to hear about the reckless spending. We're changing people's lives. Yeah, I mean, you are. It's costing us another $400 to $500 a month. For the same goods and services we consumed 1 year ago, you sure have changed our lives over the last 12 months there, Joe.
Yeah, the left likes to bring up Nazi imagery every time they describe things. That was very Hitler of him, wasn't it? Yeah, you're changing lives as if that's the grand plan. Like, just shut up. We're changing your life.
You're not doing any favors here, yeah. All right? So he's given this bizarre speech yesterday, and it was just strange. Like, he was angry. And, like, the American people have a right and should be angry. I'm not sure what he's got a right to be angry about. I mean, he's done everything, for the most part, he's wanted to do outside of Build Back Better. And thank goodness. Could you imagine the inflation right now if Build Back Better had passed $5 trillion in spending? Like, think about that. So, I don't know what he's angry about. He's done everything he's wanted to do outside of Build Back Better for the most part. And somehow that's going to save us on inflation. Yes, spending $5 trillion when what we've spent has caused inflation is going to somehow fix inflation. It makes zero sense. But he's given the speech. He's angry. And he started going on, the president did yesterday, in this this speech about tax rates. And we got more of the ultra MAGA. We got more of that yesterday. It was very odd.
But the fact is, Republicans in Congress are still in the grip of the ultra-MAGA agenda. They still refuse to consider changing any part of the Trump tax cuts, which delivered massive windfalls to billionaires and others, and they weren't paid for. They still refuse to consider a minimum corporate tax, a 15% minimum tax. They seem to think that the problem in America today is that working families aren't paying enough.
I don't even know where he gets that. All right. That is a guy who is trying to make excuses for his own failed policies. That's it. Propose a tax raise. I mean, do it today. Propose raising taxes, or get Congress, get Schumer, get Pelosi to put a bill on the floor of the House or the floor of the Senate to get a tax increase. All right. Corporate taxes. You want to charge millionaires and billionaires, as Bernie Sanders would say. You want to charge them more money? Be my guest. Explain to me. Find me an economic wizard who is going to explain how raising taxes right now on your favorite corporation to hate, or Elon Musk, or anybody. Tell me how right now that slows down inflation. You can't answer it, because it doesn't, and it won't. And it will have nothing to do with inflation. And anyone who's just like thinking through this, like, understands that inflation is not being driven right now by low tax rates or lower tax. They're not even that low. Lower tax rates. That's not the cause of inflation today. In fact, what you could make a strong case for is that the only reason the economy is not in even worse shape is because of those 2018 tax cuts that lowered taxes for the vast majority of Americans, right? And then, yes, did lower the corporate tax rate, which was a good thing. The growth that we had 2018 up until COVID was some of the best growth we had seen in a generation. And if you go back to that period of time, and I remember talking about it on this show, you go back to pre-COVID, late 19 and the early 20, the biggest wage gains on a percentage basis were for those who were on the lowest ends of the income scale. They were seeing the highest percentage increase in their wages right up until the pandemic. The lower corporate tax rates were working. Corporations were investing. They were growing. Sure, yes, they were doing more stock buybacks too. But the economy was working as well as it had for everybody. And somehow there's this tired argument of corporations got to pay their fair share. Rich people got to pay their fair share, by golly. Like, anyone who's lived in the last 12 months has got to just stop and think to themselves, how will that improve my life today? How will that improve the cost of gasoline today? Lower the cost of gasoline. How will that lower my bill at Hy-Vee, at Price Chopper, at Target, at Walmart? How will that accomplish any of that today? What will that do today? You can't even square those two things. It doesn't make an ounce of sense. But somehow that's the pitch. That's what we're all supposed to believe. And that's what we're all supposed to fall for, hook, line, and sinker. And it's not based in anything outside of political rhetoric. And that's what's like so frustrating about all this, right? Not that I expected the president to go into the White House and like surprise me and do things that actually were pretty decent. I really didn't anticipate that in any meaningful way. But I just didn't anticipate the level of gaslighting. And maybe that's naive. Maybe, well, Pete, you should have seen it coming. Fine. But I did not think that this level of gaslighting would be taking place. But it is. It's happening every day. And then yesterday, you know, if you're an American watching this thing, you're like, why am I getting yelled at here?
I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives.
What are you yelling at me for, man? Come on now. What are you getting at me for here? What did I do, John? Just trying to point out the failures of the moment.
Yeah, it's beyond me, man.
I can't figure it out. And I rewatched the clips last night. I'm soaking it in and soaking it up last night. And then I start getting ticked off because I'm like, wait, you're yelling at me? Look in the mirror. Gosh darn it. I mean, jeez. Not about me. It's about you. You guys are running the show. And I'll get into this more at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. But if you did not see what happened last night in some of these special elections, there's a specific district in South Texas that's been a Democrat district for years. Double-digit Democrat district. And the Republican for Congress won the special election last night. It was like an Obama plus 20 district 10 years ago. It's completely changed. Don't miss that story just after 9 on KCMO. Next, David Stokes, Show Me Institute's going to join us on Kansas dueling with Oklahoma for a lot of incentives. We'll get to it next. Well, we're approaching 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. You know what time of the week it is. Water!
KCMO, 710 AM and 103.7 FM.
It's time for What If Wednesday
on Mundo in the Morning.
What if instead of having you on this radio station, there was somebody else?
All right, been there, done that. Three questions, John Anthony, on a Wednesday morning for What If Wednesday. John, what do you got for me?
What if Build Back Better had passed?
You get choked up saying it because...
What if Build Back Better had passed?
We'd be sitting right now at, instead of 8.5% inflation, we'd be easily in double digits, and they'd probably be talking today about raising interest rates even more than they are. Not passing Build Back Better, which was only thanks to Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, possibly save this country from even more damage than already we're suffering through right now. I mean, right now in this country, it's costing every American on average $450 to $500 more per month to consume the same amount of goods and services as we did 1 year ago. Nearly $500 a month. Imagine dumping another $5 trillion on this economy with Build Back Better last year into this year. Imagine how ugly things would be right now. You'd be talking about interest rates back where they were 40 years ago, right? You'd be looking at that number all of a sudden. I don't think we're going to get there, but we may have to get close. I don't know. We'll see. Depends what the Fed decides to do today. Now they're talking about a 75 basis point hike. But either way, if Build Back Better had passed, my goodness, the pain of the American people right now would be incomprehensible, even beyond where it is today. And that's a scary, scary thought there, John. Scary thought.
I don't say it probably won't get bad because Biden would be going, here, hold my pudding.
Yeah.
Watch this. All right, next one. What if Kansas City lands the World Cup? Announcement tomorrow.
So, next up, RNC. 2028, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, paves the way for more events, you think?
Paves the way. That's exactly right. NFL draft next year. Theoretically, the World Cup could be landed tomorrow, which would be for, what, 2026?
Six.
Okay.
We got the Mayor's Conference, too.
Oh, the Mayor's Conference. Mm-hmm. That's in 24. So, you know, we need a big event every 2 years. Well, I guess 2023 next year for the draft. Mayor's Conference in 24. And then you'd have, theoretically, if they land it tomorrow, the World Cup in 26. And then the grand finale, the RNC in 2028 with all the wokesters protesting outside. RNC must go! RNC must go! Or something, I don't know.
Yeah,
what kind of
like that.
Dumb chant they'd come up with. So, what do you guys think the odds are of that, by the way? Better than 50-50?
I do not.
You think we're going to get disappointed?
I don't know if disappointed is a word. As I said, the soccer fan, I'm not all into the politics of all this. And It'll be fun, but I wouldn't find myself attending, so I don't think
you don't think we're going to get it, though. Is that fair?
Yes,
okay.
That's fair.
Mark, do you think we're going to get it?
I think that we are going to get it because they're hosting this party downtown. The mayor's going to be there.
That's what I wonder, right? Like, I wonder if the city secretly knows they're going to get it, because if they are on the fence or they feel like they're not going to get it, and then you host a watch party at Power and Light, how stupid would these people look?
Yeah, you got huge crowds for these soccer parties, too. The last World Cup, they had the highest viewing in America right here in Kansas City and everything.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
Team USA is in it and does well.
No, I just can't imagine that they would have this. And the mayor is, like, hyping it up on Twitter.
Oh, I hear what you're saying, right?
And this has nothing to do with Mayor Lucas. I'm just saying the guy would look like a horse's ass standing out there at Power and Light throwing a party. And then it's like, oh, no, we didn't get it. Hey, go drink your face off in sorrow and misery.
Hey, thanks for coming. A little hot out here today, huh?
Yeah. Could you imagine? He's out there in 98-degree weather, heat index of 105 per our boy Greg Bennett. And, you know, then it's like the card comes in and you are a loser. I mean, that would look horrible for the city. So I'm leaning towards Mark's direction here, mm-hmm. only because I can't mm-hmm. imagine the city would go through all these hoops to host a party and then, like, have it not work out.
Something in Casey's favor, too. You know, you got Nebraska, Iowa, Oklahoma, Missouri, mm-hmm. Colorado, people coming in from all over to watch World Cup. So.
Well, certainly, but I don't know that the FIFA is going to recognize our geographic advantage.
Yeah, well, that's true. Right. Is there enough corruption here for
there's
FIFA?
There's a few more things afoot here yeah. and decisions than yeah. that, unfortunately, for us.
Oh, well, it's going to be interesting to see what
It'll
happens tomorrow.
It'll be great tomorrow. If we get it. I'm skeptical.
I'll have to ask the mayor tomorrow morning how that's going to go.
Yeah.
What's right. next?
What if the LIV Tour is actually the best thing to happen to golf in a long time?
I like it. I think it is, first off. And if this new tour for golf, no matter what happens, if it succeeds, it makes the PGA Tour step up its game. If it fails, then it becomes a great talking point for the PGA Tour. Like this past weekend, the PGA Tour had the RBC Canadian Open, and you know Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas were playing in it, and they were playing in the final pairing with Tony Finau on Sunday, and it was like a great watch because the backdrop was this new LIV Tour that is taking away Phil Mickelson and a lot of the top guys, well, at least big names, I should say. Not really top guys anymore, but Dustin Johnson are going over to this tour that's funded by the Saudis. So they're taking that blood money for literally $100 to $200 million payouts. And now this week, you've got the U.S. Open taking place. And everyone's being asked about this. And there is more hype and more talk amongst the casual sports fan about golf than there's probably been since Tiger Woods was getting chased around his house with a golf club by his ex-wife. Like, that's good for the sport. The drama is good for the sport. And I say that, obviously, as a golf fan as well. So we'll see how it plays out. Nothing better than Father's Day weekend, sitting on the couch, watching the U.S. Open. That is, whew, that's heaven to me. All right, we do have some threats of, there was a school shooting threat this morning, or late last night, that came against Blue Springs. We've now got, what, 8 school districts shut down around the area? Is that correct?
I believe I counted 7 at last by name, but at least that many.
Okay.
Yeah, 8 school districts, 2
8
private schools, and they actually have a suspect in custody now.
They
That's
do?
Latest
okay.
breaking news.
All right, we'll get to more of that coming up after the news here. And also, I'll tell you about this political story in Texas that matters to all of us coming up next on KCMO. We've got some good news as we start the 9 o'clock hour. Police have made an arrest in connection with a mass shooting threat in Blue Springs. Police department there stated officers were made aware of a Snapchat post. Someone had made a comment threatening to kill people, mass murdering. That person was taken into custody this morning. And police did say there was no further danger to the public. Several Jackson County school districts had canceled summer school classes and activities for today due to that possible school shooting threat targeting the Blue Springs School District. 8 all in all had put a stop today to summer classes and activities. So they were first 3 were Blue Springs, Independence, and Lee's Summit. And then they were joined by Fort Osage and Grain Valley. Also in that list, Odessa, Oak Grove, Lone Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a couple of private schools as well.
Those are in Lee Summit, yeah.
Yes. St. Michael, the Archangel in Lee Summit, and Timothy Lutheran in Blue Springs.
So the concern was basically in the eastern Jackson County area.
Correct.
Right. And we've had some other schools indicate they are continuing on the Kansas side with their activities. Better news now that the suspect's in custody.
Absolutely. They've got the guy in custody, and that is a good sign and a good thing. So that's where that stands as of this morning, as of 9:06. Happy Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us on KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, and stream us when you get to the office at kcmotalkradio.com or on the KCMO Talk Radio app, also on the iHeart app. That way you can listen to us up until 10 and then have Chris DeGaul take you from 10 to noon every day on KCMO. So huge political news yesterday. Widely overlooked political news yesterday as well. Now, we're not going to overlook it. We have not overlooked it. But did you know that yesterday, the first time ever, a Mexican-born person is going to be sitting in Congress? Myra Flores won a special election last night on the border of Texas. A Republican, Myra Flores, will make history as the first Mexican-born congresswoman in American history. Can you believe that? Now, where are the headlines on CNN? Where are they, darn it? Oh, did I just break something here? No, never mind. Sorry. something just fell off, but it's not broken. But I'm just, you know, I'm banging the table here, because I'm trying to figure out where the screaming headlines are.
I got an idea.
You got an idea, John?
The first thing you'll always hear about is a Republican.
Yes, yes.
Right? That'll always get interjected before a first Mexican.
Even if they tell the story, mm-hmm. that's how it's going to be portrayed.
Correct, that's right. So in their series of labeling.
Yes, yes.
You know, you have your priorities here.
Exactly.
Code one, she's a Republican.
Code one. So this happened in Texas's 34th congressional district. A special election took place, and this Republican, Myra Flores, won it. Now, this would be, and this is, now the first time the GOP flipped a majority Hispanic Democratic seat in the Rio Grande Valley in over 100 years. This is a district that is 75% to 80% Hispanic. And Republican Myra Flores won it last night and won it relatively easily as well by a couple of points. This is a district that in 2020 voted for Joe Biden 51-47. So you've had at least a 6-point swing in 18 months. This is a district that voted for Hillary Clinton 59-37. Over Donald Trump in 2016. This is a district that in 2012 voted for Barack Obama 61-38. This district in the Rio Grande Valley in South Texas, Obama won 10 years ago, technically not even 10 years ago, by 23 points. This majority Hispanic district just put a Republican into Congress. This is massive political news. And it's also a sign that things are going to be really ugly, really ugly for the Democratic Party come November. I thought it was going to be bad for them. I now think it's going to be even worse than they realize. And they got to be, I mean, if you're a Democratic strategist this morning, you got to be scratching your head and saying to yourself, geez, I guess just calling them Latinx isn't enough to get their vote, huh? Sorry, Latinx. I just think Latinx always sounds so much better. But I guess they actually, you know, wow. So you mean calling them Latinx and having massive amounts of illegal immigration through their district in many cases, by the way, isn't what they actually want? Along with high gas prices and massive inflation? You mean that we weren't told this? Here you have it. the first Mexican-born woman ever elected to Congress. But we will hear zero about it today, I'm sure. I mean, our Fox News hits are mentioning it top and bottom of the hour. We're grateful for that. She will land on, I'm sure, zero magazine covers. Think she's going to land on the cover of, you know, any fancy Hollywood magazines or New York City Sixth Avenue magazines? No? Yeah, no magazine covers for her because she's not a Democrat. And the media doesn't fawn over identities of Republicans. They just don't. You only can be a Democrat for them to fawn over your identity. And I'm not sitting here fawning over it. I'm just pointing out more or less their hypocrisy. And it also confirms to me that a lot of these polls we've seen as of late, like that Quinnipiac poll we told you about last week that showed Joe Biden had a lower approval rating than amongst Hispanic voters than white voters. He was at 24% with Hispanic voters. He was at 32% in this poll with white voters. And then he was at 49% with black voters. So he's not even above 50% with any of those groups, but he's the lowest amongst Hispanic voters. And now you have this special race for Congress that ends up with a Republican winning it. I thought it'd be close. I thought, maybe Democrat ekes it out. This is a district that Joe Biden still won a couple of years ago. It was trending towards Republicans. But, you know, to get a 10-point, nearly 10-point swing in 18 months, that might be hard to do. I kind of tempered my expectations, but no. And in 2020, in this congressional district race, the incumbent, the Democrat, Philemon Vella, he beat the Republican by 14 points. Now, he was a well-known incumbent. He had been in office for a very long time, but he had won by 14 points. Now, in a special runoff, the Republican wins by a couple. Wow. That is absolutely stunning. Stunning, stunning, stunning. And it's a massive deal. A massive deal. And where did Vella go, by the way? Where was this a special election to begin with? Vella resigned early from Congress to take a job at a lobbying and law firm. So this guy, who had been the incumbent for multiple terms, was probably so embarrassed by what was going on, he bailed in March to go work at a lobbying firm. And he was like a 3- or 4-time incumbent. He won for the first time in 2012 by 25 points. This guy won by 25 points in 2012 in South Texas. He won in 2016 by 25 points. He won in 18 by 20. He won by 14 in 2020. And now a Republican has that seat. Wow. I mean, that is stunning news. And it really is a sign of what's going to come in November. And that's why, you know, it's not directly related to us here in Kansas City, but I believe that it matters. Like, Sharice Davids has got to look at that and say, holy smokes, I'm screwed. Boy, the Kansas City Star better really start carrying my water, even more than they already have for the last 3.5 years. That's what she's got to be saying to herself. And this whole notion that, oh, boy, they split up Wyandotte. And, oh, no, that's not fair to the people. And are we convinced that, you know, Wyandotte, which has obviously a larger minority community, is going to go along with Sharice Davids again? Just close their eyes and do it? They're living through this just like the rest of us are. It feels like a moot point now anyway. If you're Sharice Davids, you look at this and you say to yourself, holy cow, I'm screwed. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. It is great to be with you at 9:14 on a Wednesday morning. If you have not RSVP'd for our Politics in a Pint, please do make sure that you go ahead and do that right now at kcmotalkradio.com. We'll be at Tiff and Jay's in Lee's Summit on Monday, June 27th with Vicki Hartzler, running for U.S. Senate, of course, in Missouri. So she'll be out there with us. Space is limited, and it's filling up fast. So be sure to go sign up on the site right now at kcmotalkradio.com. Coming up, did Mayor Quint Lucas get passed over for a bigger job? Was he trying to land this job, the mayor of Kansas City? I don't have any evidence that he was. But let's just say I think he might have been interested, but he didn't get it. I'll tell you what that job was coming up next on KCMO.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.